Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're diving into a stack of articles, research papers, and notes you sent us, all centered around high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, and its seriously interesting effects, especially on your metabolism.
Yeah, it's a hot topic.
Definitely. You know, there's this stat that always jumps out. Around 80% of people in the U.S. feel like they just don't have enough time for exercise. It's a massive hurdle.
It really is.
But what if, as this material suggests, there's a way to potentially get significant health and fitness results in, say, half the time?
That time crunch is exactly where HI comes in, according to the research you've provided. It's being looked at as a potential game changer, precisely because of its efficiency.
Right.
Our goal in this deep dive is to really unpack these sources together. We're going to figure out what HI is, why it's generating so much buzz, and what the research specifically highlights about its benefits, from boosting metabolism and burning fat to building muscle, improving heart health, and regulating blood sugar. And yes, why it seems to be such a perfect fit for those incredibly busy schedules.
Okay, let's jump right in then. What exactly is HIIT? The name makes it sound, well, intense.
It is. At its core, HIIT is about alternating short bursts of maximum or near maximum effort with brief periods of recovery.
Okay.
Imagine sprinting as hard as you can for maybe 20 or 30 seconds,
yeah.
Then walking slowly for 60 seconds and just repeating that sequence a few times.
Or like on a bike.
Exactly. Cycling with explosive pedaling sprints, followed by easy pedaling to catch your breath. It's that structured on-off pattern that defines it.
And why is this specific approach popping up everywhere now? Why is it being called a fitness game changer?
Well, the popularity really boils down to two things, according to these sources. Efficiency and effectiveness. It almost sounds like a paradox, you know.
How so?
You spend less time, but you potentially get better results.
The less time, better results paradox. I like that. So this isn't just some fleeting fitness trend we're seeing.
Not at all. Based on the evidence presented here, there's been a huge surge in scientific interest studies related to HIIT on PubMed. That's a major research database.
Right.
They've increased by something like 300% since 2010.
Wow, 300%.
Yeah. That kind of research focus suggests there's something significant happening. And you see real-world examples, too. One study mentioned college students who incorporated this training and saw a remarkable 23-26% reduction in body fat in just a few weeks.
Wait, 23-26% body fat loss in weeks? That seems incredibly high. Is that typical?
Well, it certainly highlights the potential intensity and effectiveness described in that particular study. And another point that really drives healthy efficiency is an 8-week study comparing two groups.
Okay.
One group did just 60 minutes of HIIT per week. The other did a full 120 minutes per week of traditional steady-state cardio.
So double the time for the second group.
Exactly. And both groups saw equal improvements in their overall fitness levels.
Equal fitness gains with half the time commitment for the HIIT group.
That's what the study found. It really does suggest working smarter, not necessarily just logging more hours.
So if you're listening and thinking, I barely have 20 minutes, let alone an hour for the gym, this approach, based on the sources, seems designed precisely for that challenge.
Absolutely. Which brings us to one of the most talked about benefits, how HII significantly boosts your metabolic rate. This is where the concept of the afterburn effect comes in.
Ah, the afterburn, the holy grail of working out burning calories even after you stop moving.
Exactly. And the science behind it is called EPOXY, which stands for excess post-exercise oxygen consumption.
EPOXY, got it.
The sources explain that this EPOXY is the physiological reason why those short, intense intervals can lead to a greater metabolic boost after the workout compared to longer, steady-state exercise.
Okay, so your body needs extra oxygen after a hard workout to recover. Is that the idea?
Precisely. Think of it like this. During those intense bursts, you're creating an oxygen debt.
Makes sense.
After you stop, your body has to work harder to return to its resting state. It needs extra oxygen to repair muscle fibers damaged during the intense effort, restore energy stores like glycogen, and bring your physiological system's heart rate, breathing, body temperature back down to normal. All of that recovery work requires energy, which means burning calories.
So the more intense you go, the bigger the oxygen debt and the longer your body is in this elevated calorie burning state afterward.
That's the principle. Studies discussed here show EPOC from high intensity training can burn 25-30% more calories post-workout than even traditional weight training or consistent running.
25 to 30% more. That's significant.
It is. Here's a specific example given. Peloton riders who did HIIT saw their metabolism stay elevated for about 20% longer compared to people training for a marathon with longer, less intense runs.
That's wild. A potentially much shorter workout leading to a longer afterburn than marathon training.
It really highlights why, metabolically speaking, traditional steady-state cardio is sometimes described as leaving money on the table when it comes to that extended afterburn effect.
Leaving money on the table. I like that analogy.
You might burn a good number of calories during the activity, sure, but the metabolic impact drops off quickly afterward. With HIIT, even a quick lunchtime session is suggested to keep your energy expenditure elevated for hours.
Oh, interesting.
Potentially helping you skip that, you know, that 4 p.m. slump.
Let's look at that metabolic comparison the sources provided. It lays out the differences pretty clearly.
It does. Comparing a roughly 30-minute HIIT session to a 30-minute steady-state workout. During the session, HIIT might burn a bit more, maybe 250, 400 calories versus 200, 300 for steady-state.
Okay, a slight edge there.
But the major difference highlighted is the afterburn duration. HIIT is listed as keeping your metabolism elevated for up to 48 hours post-workout.
48 hours?
Up to 48 hours, yeah. While steady state is typically only 0 to 2 hours.
That's a massive difference.
And looking at belly fat loss over 8 weeks, the material suggests HIIT can lead to about 3 times more reduction compared to the slower pace seen with steady cardio.
3 times more belly fat reduction in the same time frame? That table is pretty compelling evidence for the afterburn effect's real-world impact.
And it connects to other benefits listed there, like improvements in insulin sensitivity and heart health, which, again, steady state might not influence as strongly or as quickly, according to this comparison.
Right.
The takeaway here seems to be that for consistent metabolic benefits from regular exercise, intensity structured with recovery is key.
Speaking of intensity, let's talk about that feeling of absolutely gasping for air sometimes during the peak effort of a HIIT interval. The sources say this isn't necessarily a bad sign.
No, they frame it as a sign your body's undergoing important positive adaptations. It relates directly to how efficiently your body uses oxygen.
And that brings us to VO2 max, right?
Exactly. VO2 max is defined as the maximum amount of oxygen your body can utilize during intense physical activity. It's a critical measure of your cardiovascular fitness and endurance capacity.
Okay.
And the data here is quite impressive. These sources indicate HIIT can boost your VO2 max by up to 15% in just a few weeks.
A 15% jump in VO2 max in just a couple of weeks. That's a rapid improvement in endurance capacity. Why is boosting VO2 max so important, though?
Because it reflects significant changes happening at a cellular level. Your mitochondria, often called the powerhouses of your cells, because they generate energy using oxygen.
Right, the powerhouse.
They get a major upgrade. One study specifically cited, little at all, from 2010, found an astonishing 49% increase in mitochondrial density after just 2 weeks of this type of interval training.
A 49% increase in mitochondria density. That's like suddenly putting a much bigger engine in every single cell.
It's a dramatic cellular adaptation. And that panting effect we mentioned, that's your body signaling it's being pushed to handle much higher oxygen demands. And over time, it becomes much better at it.
Uh-huh.
The material even suggests that with consistent application, these improvements could potentially give someone with a sedentary job athlete-level oxygen deficiency.
Athlete-level efficiency for an office worker. That's quite a claim. Okay, so how does the alternating intensity and recovery specifically train the body to use oxygen better?
Well, by constantly shifting between extreme demand and brief rest, you're challenging both your oxygen uptake and delivery systems intensely. Your heart has to pump furiously to get oxygen to your muscles.
Yeah.
And your muscles have to become incredibly efficient at using that oxygen. The recovery periods allow for partial replenishment and adaptation, making the system stronger for the next burst. Over time, this back and forth builds remarkable oxygen processing capability.
And this improved oxygen efficiency has broader health implications, not just for running faster or feeling less winded.
Absolutely. A key one mentioned is a reduced risk of type 2 diabetes, linking this oxygen efficiency back to improved metabolic health.
Interesting connection, looking at the oxygen efficiency comparison table provided here.
It shows VO2 max improvement is listed as up to 15% for HIIT compared to a more moderate 5-10% for steady state.
Mm.
That massive 39% increase in mitochondrial density is listed for HIIT, with minimal change noted for steady state.
Big difference there.
And the reduction in diabetes risk is labeled significant for HIIT versus moderate for steady state.
Those comparisons consistently highlight the intensity-based approach having a stronger effect.
And the sources even include some breathing techniques they suggest can help maximize these benefits. Things like deep belly breathing during recovery, rhythmic breathing synced with your movements during activity, and focused recovery breathing using slow, controlled breaths when resting.
Helpful tips. All right, let's transition to fat loss. I know that's a primary goal for many people starting exercise. These sources suggest you can shed fat not just during the workout, but even while you're, say, sitting at your desk or sleeping.
That's a key point they make, yeah. It ties back to that afterburn effect, but specifically focusing on fat fuel. The research cited supports this.
Like what?
Like that little Etta study again, the 2010 one, showing that HIIT increases fat oxidation, essentially, the rate at which your body burns fat.
Okay, fat burning rate.
By 56% compared to steady state exercise. That's a significant increase in your body's ability to tap into fat stores after the workout.
A 56% increase in post-workout fat burning. That really explains the results seen with body fat reduction in those other studies.
It does. The afterburn keeps your metabolism elevated for hours, burning calories, and critically, favoring fat as fuel during that recovery period.
Interesting.
The sources propose that these shorter, intense sessions might even be more effective at helping prevent weight gain during challenging periods, like holidays, than dieting alone. They suggest even a 10-minute routine can make a difference.
Just 10 minutes.
That's the suggestion. And they give the very relatable example of busy parents using these quick bursts to help maintain leanness without having to sacrifice precious family time for long gym sessions.
Beyond just the afterburn, why else is HIIT so effective for managing weight and reducing fat, according to this material?
Well, it's suggested it's particularly good at targeting stubborn subcutaneous fat, especially around the abdomen.
Ah, the belly fat.
Right. It also significantly improves insulin sensitivity, which, as we touched on and we'll discuss more, helps your body manage blood sugar and fat storage more effectively. And as we keep emphasizing, its adaptability means you really can do it almost anywhere.
Anywhere, like even at your desk. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes. They offer practical desk-friendly moves as examples. Things like chair squats done quickly for 30 seconds, desk push-ups against the edge of your desk for 20 reps, or high knees marching in place for a minute.
Interesting.
They're suggesting you can integrate intensity even without leaving your workspace.
So the conclusion here seems to be that if fat loss is a major goal and time is a constraint, this method, backed by this research, is presented as a highly effective option.
Absolutely. Which leads us to something that might surprise some people. The idea that HIIT can contribute to building muscle, even without lifting traditional heavy weights.
Really? You mean you don't necessarily need a barbell or dumbbells to see some muscle development?
That's the point made here. While traditional strength training has its specific benefits, no doubt, these sources position HIIT as a tool that can promote muscle growth and help sculpt the body through its unique structure.
How does essentially cardio activity lead to muscle gains, though?
Well, they reference a study where participants doing intense cycling intervals saw an 8% increase in the thickness of their quadriceps muscles in just 6 weeks.
8% on the quads from cycling intervals? Okay.
The mechanism they describe is that the explosive high-effort movements you do in HIIT, like burpees, jump squats, or fast hill sprints, engage multiple muscle groups intensely.
Right.
Those short periods of pushing your muscles close to their limits trigger a hypertrophy response, which is muscle growth. And the recovery periods are crucial. That's when the muscle fibers repair and strengthen themselves.
So it's the intensity and the type of movement that stimulates growth, not just the external weight being lifted.
Exactly. The intense, often body weight focused or explosive movements provide the necessary stimulus. They also mention targeting specific areas, like using those desk push-ups we talked about, to work your arms and chest effectively without any equipment.
Okay.
The material cites another study finding improvements not just in cardiovascular fitness, but also in lean mass, overall strength, and muscle power after just 12 weeks of consistent HIIT.
So for the listener who's short on time but wants to improve their physique and strength without necessarily hitting the weight room every day, these sources suggest HIIT is definitely worth considering.
Definitely. Moving on to another vital area, heart health. The sources pose the question, why shouldn't your workout work as hard for your heart as your heart works for you every single day?
A very good point. How does this kind of intense interval-based effort specifically benefit the cardiovascular system then?
Well, a major benefit highlighted is its effectiveness in lowering both blood pressure and resting heart rate.
Okay, that's key.
They cite a 4-week program where participants doing HIIT saw a 10% improvement in their VO2 max. Remember, That's maximum oxygen use, compared to only a 5% improvement in the steady state group.
Double the improvement in VO2 max in 4 weeks.
Yeah, which indicates that the heart becomes significantly more efficient at pumping blood and delivering oxygen.
So the intense bursts challenge the heart to pump harder, and the recovery periods train it to return to a stable rate more quickly and efficiently. Is that the idea?
That's precisely the mechanism described. The rapid shifts push the cardiovascular system to adapt and become more resilient. The recovery phases allow for stabilization, reducing the overall stress on the heart over time.
Makes sense.
They even use the example of firefighters, who need incredible cardiovascular capacity for their job, utilizing these interval training methods to build life-saving stamina.
Wow. And it helps with overall cardiovascular endurance, too, like improving your ability to run or cycle longer distances.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By maximizing your body's ability to use oxygen, as reflected in that improved VO2 max, HIIT makes your heart and lungs much more efficient.
Right.
This directly translates to improved endurance, helping you reach goals like running a 5K or hiking a trail faster and with less perceived effort than you might expect from slower or longer training.
Let's look at that cardiovascular comparison table again.
Sure. It shows VO2 max improvement with HIE listed at that 10% gain versus a 5% gain for steady state. Blood pressure reduction is described as significant for HIIT and moderate for steady state.
Mm-hmm.
And endurance gains are listed as rapid for HIIT compared to gradual for steady state.
The numbers consistently point to HIE having a more pronounced, quicker effect on these cardiovascular markers.
Right. And the sources also mention that recreational athletes, you know, the weekend warriors, find HIIT appealing for its reported benefits and leading to faster recovery and improving their performance in their chosen sports or activities.
Okay. Next up is a topic that impacts so many people's daily lives. Blood sugar regulation. We've all felt that post-meal slump, right? These sources suggest short, intense bursts of activity could be a powerful tool against those blood sugar spikes and crashes.
This is an area where the findings presented are particularly significant, I think. They detail how HIIT can profoundly improve insulin sensitivity, basically, how effectively your body uses insulin to manage blood sugar.
Okay, insulin sensitivity. How much improvement are we talking?
Well, a compelling study mentioned showed that just 12 weeks of this training reduced HbA1c levels by 0.5% in pre-diabetic patients.
HbA1c, that's a long-term blood sugar marker, right?
Exactly. And they note that this 0.5% reduction is often enough to potentially move someone from being classified as at risk into the normal range on standard blood tests.
That's a really significant clinical change from exercise alone. How does it actually work at the cellular level to impact blood sugar so much?
The key mechanism highlighted is how muscle cells become far more efficient at taking up glucose from the bloodstream. The sources cite a study where GLUT4 transporters, these are proteins that act like little doors on your muscle cells, allowing glucose to enter.
Got it. GLUT4 doors.
They increased by an astonishing 369% in patients with type 2 diabetes after engaging in this type of training.
Wow, 369%. That's a massive increase in the body's capacity to essentially sponge up sugar from the blood into the muscles.
Exactly. And the benefit is immediate and lasting. They state that just one session of HIIT can continue to improve post-meal blood sugar control for up to 24 hours afterward.
24 hours from one session.
That's the finding presented. This suggests that even sneaking in a few chair squats between conference calls could potentially help stabilize your glucose levels after lunch.
So it's framed as a pretty robust diabetes defense strategy then.
Yes, and while gentler activities like walking are definitely beneficial for blood sugar, the research presented here strongly suggests that intense intervals are considerably more effective for both prevention and management.
More effective than walking.
In terms of the degree of improvement in insulin sensitivity, yes. They cite another study finding that insulin sensitivity improved by 23% after just 2 weeks of consistent HIIT training.
2 weeks? That's incredibly fast to see that kind of metabolic improvement. And they even provide a specific desk routine aimed at this, right?
They do. Designed to integrate short bursts into a workday. Seated leg lifts, maybe alternating fast and slow for 30 seconds, arm circles, 20 seconds forward and 20 seconds backward, and stand-sit pulses, like 10 rapid partial squats from your chair.
Simple moves, but potentially powerful for glucose control if done intensely.
That's the idea. They even suggest this kind of smart physical activity can help process those extra sweets during holiday gatherings without suffering the usual crash.
A way to mitigate the holiday feast. I like it.
It's about integrating impactful movement into daily life to manage blood sugar proactively.
Which brings us full circle, really, back to the central challenge that started our deep dive, time. The sources repeatedly emphasize that the beauty of HIA is its time efficiency, suggesting that potentially as little as 20 minutes is all you might need.
This is where all the discussed benefits converge. The core argument is that you can achieve these significant outcomes, the metabolic boost, the fat loss, maybe some muscle building, the heart health, the blood sugar control in a fraction of the time traditionally thought necessary.
Right.
They suggest that just 3 20-minute sessions per week could lead to significant improvements in these key health markers. And remember that afterburn effect?
Yeah, the EPC.
That's like getting bonus metabolic work for hours after those 20 minutes are up.
It's essentially getting more bang for your buck minute for minute.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And because it often requires minimal space and equipment, it fits incredibly well into busy lifestyles.
Like the examples they give. Doing intervals at an airport gate during a layover.
Right, or squeezing in on the sidelines while your kids are at practice.
Uh-huh.
Teachers using part of their recess, or those desk exercises we talked about for office workers. Parents can even turn active playtime into a workout opportunity.
It makes it much harder to use the no time excuse.
It does. The material acknowledges that getting started can be a hurdle and offers suggestions, mentioning exploring gentler options like LISS, that's low intensity, steady state if needed, or perhaps programs like a 28-day challenge. It's all about finding a way to make it work with your schedule and fitness level.
So let's recap this deep dive into the material you shared. We've explored what high-intensity interval training is alternating intense bursts with recovery. We saw how it fundamentally impacts your metabolism, particularly through that powerful EPA afterburn effect.
Yeah, potentially burning significantly more calories post-workout than traditional methods.
Right. We looked at how it dramatically boosts oxygen efficiency, leading to rapid improvements in VO2 max and even upgrading your cell's mitochondria.
Big cellular changes.
The sources detailed its effectiveness for fat loss, even suggesting it can contribute to muscle growth without weights, improve heart health by lowering blood pressure and increasing cardiovascular efficiency.
And showing remarkable results in helping regulate blood sugar by transforming insulin sensitivity.
And the overarching finding across these sources is that you can potentially achieve all these wide-ranging and significant health and fitness benefits with shorter, more intense efforts, making it uniquely suited for overcoming that common barrier of not having enough time.
Right. The consistent theme is that significant health and fitness outcomes seem achievable in substantially less time than many people assume if you apply this intensity-based approach.
So, here is a final thought for you, drawn directly from the potential outlined in the material we've explored today. Given how little time is needed to get started with HIT and considering all the significant metabolic and health benefits, discuss the increased fat oxidation, the cellular upgrades, the improved blood sugar control, the healthier heart, how might integrating even just a few short bursts of high intensity physical activity into your daily routine fundamentally reshape your health trajectory over time? It feels like a question worth seriously considering based on the potential these sources highlight.